What's up, everybody? Welcome on into the Brass Ring Media Podcast Spotlight for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. How's it going? I'm Zach Haydorn. Apologies for the tech issues. YouTube is having some problems right now. So we're live right here on Twitter, as we are every Wednesday afternoon, 3 Eastern, 2 Central. Pumped to be here after a busy WrestleMania weekend in Philadelphia. And I'm joined by a very special guest, someone that was with me in Philadelphia, somebody that's around the wrestling world and the wrestling business, not necessarily a fan, which is why I thought this was the perfect guest to bring on this day, just a few days removed from the show. So I introduce you all to Carrie Graflin, my wonderful, beautiful wife. Carrie, what's going on?
Not much. Happy to be here.
Are you tired of wrestling at this point, or are you ready to chat for a little while longer?
No, I can chat. That's fine.
Good, good. So real quick, if you missed our WrestleMania content all weekend long, you can check that out right now on YouTube. I think you can get to YouTube right now. It's just me that can't. But you can catch up on all of our content from all weekend long. We had post shows and preview shows and live in-person reports from all over Philadelphia, including the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor show, NXT Stand and Deliver, both nights of WrestleMania, WWE World, the Superstore. I mean, the city in general, we had live reports from everywhere there. And I hope you check it out. I'm proud of what we did and proud of the team's work. And I think you'll enjoy it. So give it a go. It's on our YouTube channel right now. If you haven't subscribed to our channel on YouTube, please do hit the little notification button at the bottom so you know when we're live. We have live programming on this channel Monday through Thursday. With a variety of different hosts, a variety of different perspectives and scopes, but it's all live. It's all for you. So definitely subscribe. You can also catch us on Substack for our written content, show reviews and feature columns and other cool stuff from the team there. And then, of course, you know, you can become a Brass Ring Media member for $4. That's it. Just $4 to get you access to it all. Including a member-only podcast once a week, all of our pay-per-view and PLE review shows that we do throughout the months and throughout the year, access to our Discord community, which has really been a fun time. All our members just hanging out, talking wrestling, talking sports, talking entertainment, life. It's been a blast. So you can become a member there on Patreon, patreon.com/brassringmedia. And I definitely hope you do. All right, plugs are out of the way. Let's chat. Let's chat WrestleMania, because look, most of us like that are listening to this podcast or in our Brass Ring Media members, you know, we've been watching wrestling for quite some time and fans and have certain expectations and certain ideas of what we want that show to look like and WrestleMania weekend to feel like. So it's good to have the perspective of somebody just walking in. What sticks? What doesn't? You know, do we think something's working? Is it really working? So I'm pumped to have this conversation. Let's start broadly, though, Care. You're kind of walking into Philadelphia, and you've been to a couple of WrestleManias before. Did this one feel any different from previous ones in terms of just, like, the atmosphere, the, like, depth of this, like, WrestleMania stuff going on, people in wrestling shirts, like, did you sense it was different? Because they touted this as the biggest WrestleMania ever by every metric. So viewership and money and gate. Interesting. They touted yesterday on Raw, 200,000 plus tickets sold to WWE shows across the weekend. You were at NXT TakeOver. You were at One Night of WrestleMania. So tell me, like, did this feel bigger than the last time you went a few years ago?
No, I don't think it felt bigger. I think the thing is about wrestling fans is that it's just like always an infectious environment. Like wrestling fans are just so deep in it that it's like always shocking to me. And I told you, I was telling my boss that it was at Link. Like she was like, oh, where was it? Cause she's from Philadelphia. And I told her it was at the Link and she was like shocked cause she didn't know that like wrestling fans could even sell out an arena like that. And then I'm thinking back to like when we went to Dallas, and that to me like just sticks out because that arena was just so enormous, and that's over like 100,000, right?
Yeah, that's what they said. It's probably more like 80 or 90, but yeah.
Well, yeah. So that one to me just felt huge just because of the arena itself. Whereas Link doesn't feel as huge. It feels more like a Soldier Field, even though I know it's bigger than that. But so I don't know that it felt any different. I think it always has that vibe because, like I said, it's just like wrestling fans are so in it and they're there for all of it. They spent so much money on this weekend, I feel like. A lot of
yes.
And I mean, you can really spend a lot between the world and the store and then going to all these shows. It's a lot, but no, it felt great. It's always a good energy, but I don't know that I felt like it was different.
There is a lot. No, not really. Not in terms of just like the atmosphere. I mean, yes, there's a lot of money being slung around there for sure. Yeah. It's wild. And yeah, WWE certainly wants that all in their pockets, and they position themselves to do it with, like, I mean, you could spend like Saturday and Sunday, even like before you go to WrestleMania, doing like WWE things and spending money on WWE stuff, whether it's the Superstore or whether it's, you know, SmackDown and the Hall of Fame or WWE World, which was new this year. Then you got NXT TakeOver for Saturday during the day. I mean, like, you know, and that's not to mention even all the other like shows, because really, like, it's like a pro wrestling convention. Like, really, it is led by WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year. And there's so many other indie shows that pop up, and you experience that too. What'd you think of the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor show? Not necessarily in comparison to WrestleMania, of course. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just want to get a sense, you know, one of your first indie shows, but it's a bigger one considering it's WrestleMania weekend. You know, did that show hold a candle in your casual eyes and opinion compared to the rest of the stuff that you saw?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, it's hard. You said not to compare it necessarily to WrestleMania, but it's hard not to, especially for me when I'm like seeing, I'm not big into wrestling, and then I'm seeing all these seeing wrestling shows back to back. So it's hard not to compare. That one didn't, to use your phrase, like hold a candle, I don't think. Like, it just didn't have the same vibe. I don't feel like the matches were as fun to watch. They, you know, because these people aren't as, you know, they're greener, and I didn't see as much athleticism as you see in some of the other ones. I thought the NXT show was like one of my favorites, honestly, even compared to WrestleMania. But the Ring of Honor one, it was okay. It was fine, but not, I don't think it's at all the level of the other ones.
What stood out about NXT?
Well, I mean, I love Trick Williams.
Okay.
And that promo.
A lot of people do.
I know I'm not alone. I felt like that promo that they put together for that match was really, really good. That video package was it was giving me chills as I was watching it, which felt very strange since that was the first time I was introduced to those people. But yet in that, whatever, 2-3 minutes, I like felt it and was getting chills. I just thought it was a really good, really good video package. And then the match was good. So that was one that stands out the most. I can't even remember other names. I know there was that one match where I was telling you the guy like flipped up. They were just a lot more acrobatic and athletic. And that's the kind of stuff as a casual viewer that I really enjoy seeing.
Yeah. 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 The Bron Breakker tag match. That's the one you're talking about was good. Yeah. Like during the, they played this video. I'm sure they play. I don't know. I haven't watched it back yet. So I'm pretty sure they played it, you know, in the, you know, at home too, for folks that were watching. But yeah, Carrie leaned over like right after that aired in the building, and there was like definitely like a buzz after that inside the building. And Carrie goes, yeah, I'm into this. Like, who's that guy? Like, tell me more about that guy. So yeah, I was impressed by that show too, to be honest. Like, it had a lot of energy to it, and they had 17,000 people in that building. So, I mean, they packed the house, and it was, I think, like, that show really, you know, if you guys follow NXT, that show was headlined mainly by, like, one match. I mean, it was really, like, that Carmelo Hayes-Trick Williams match that I think drove a lot of that, like, a lot of the business, like, that show did, and putting butts in seats. And so it was fun to see, like, you know, that, like, main event stand out. And I think, you know, I would say we talk a lot about on this show and on the flagship show and other shows, like, that it's important to have good story for matches and not just good matches like in a vacuum. You got to get people invested and people interested. And, you know, it sounds like that's kind of what happened here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to enter that into the Zach evidence column of, yes, I'm right about this. You got to have a story to hook some fans that might ordinarily not be hooked. Now, I don't think Kerry's going to turn around and watch NXT on a weekly basis now, but some people will. Some people will, after being exposed to that story and to see what's next with those guys. So it is important to have that, and they were able to really lean into it hard on a weekend where, yeah, you're going to have some new eyes on the product, just like Kerry. So what about WrestleMania? What about, like, the spectacle of WrestleMania? Not even like the matches. We'll get into that, the matches, in a little bit. But, like, you know, you've been to it before, and I don't know that if you were there this time and you were there a few years ago, that this, like, the spectacle of seeing, you know, 80,000 people, or in this case 72,000 people, is all that different. But I gotta believe from a casual fan perspective that, you know, you feel something when you're in a stadium filled with that many people who are all kind of pulling the same string on, like, making it huge.
Yeah. And that's kind of what makes it feel different than like when you go there for a football game or whatever, because then you have two different, like, sets of fans that are cheering for different things. Whereas obviously wrestling fans have their favorites, but I feel like my interactions has just been like, everybody just wants to see, like, a really entertaining, fun show with good matches. So it's like, that is kind of all pulling in the same direction. So, like I said, I mean, I feel like the energy is always really good. Everybody's always super friendly and, like, wanting to, like, give high fives and, like, talk about everything they know. Like, that was at Ring of Honor, but there was the guy sitting by us at Ring of Honor that kept wanting to tell me about every single move that was being done in the ring.
Yep.
So it's just like, people just, like, love it. And it's a different, it's deeper than other similar things. I feel like so many wrestling fans are more into it than people are even into sports teams and things like that. So it's really interesting.
Who came across as, like, the biggest star, you know, when you're watching? Because, I mean, there was quite a bit of star power there. Yeah. You know, with, not just with, you know, with Seth and with Drew McIntyre and you know, Stephanie was out there, and you know, of course, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes and The Rock and, like, Undertaker. Like, you know, who did you get, like, big star feel from?
I think obviously people went nuts when the Undertaker, like, gong happened or whatever. So that was, and, like, I feel like even John Cena got, like, a huge, people.
John Cena, yeah.
Came out too. People freaked out about that. I feel like maybe since The Rock was there the day before, it wasn't as, like, exciting, you know, like, those two were more of, like, a surprise. At least I think they were a surprise. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Tell me if they
technically,
were.
Technically.
But, yeah. So I think those seemed the most to me. I'm trying to think. That's all that comes to mind. I think Undertaker, Cena, like, the surprising ones, the ones you didn't necessarily expect to be there or know.
What about Cody? What about Cody Rhodes? I mean, yeah. When we've had a conversation about this after, like, kind of after the fact. And, I mean, like, look, he's clearly the guy. I mean, Raw did some pretty big numbers, you know, coming out of WrestleMania after, or the Raw after WrestleMania, you know, and it was the first time in a long time at WrestleMania where they really christened, like, a new, not just a new champion, but, like, a new top guy, like, a new, yeah, like, face of the company. A lot of fans bought it. Seriously, clearly, you seemed a little wishy-washy on Cody. So I want to dig into why that might be.
I don't know. Cody is surprising to me that he's, like, the new guy. I guess he doesn't have, like, the it factor to me.
Remember him as Stardust.
Yeah, probably. That probably doesn't help the case, because that's what I think of when I think of him. But at the same time, like, seeing how that announcer woman was, like, choked up about him winning, and mm-hmm. seen like interviews of him afterwards. I'm starting to get it a little where he seems like a really nice guy. Obviously the company like loves him and all these people in the company love, like the celebration afterwards when he won with all those people coming there. I feel like that seemed new to me actually. And maybe that happens at every WrestleMania and I've never noticed, but that felt kind of new where people were like so excited about this. And like, it was just like a huge celebration and party, everybody hugging. And like, I feel like they almost weren't in character at that moment. Like it was like, they were just really happy for this human being, not like happy for Cody Rhodes, the wrestler even. So that felt a little different to me. I don't know if that's common at WrestleMania or not, but that did seem like a little bit of a different vibe. So it's like, yeah. I'm starting to get it. He doesn't have the traditional like look, I guess, of, you know, these huge guys like Rock and Roman Reigns and stuff. So that maybe that's what like throws me off. And I don't know enough about how he kind of is on the mic, because that's a big thing like for people I like. You know, I like The Miz because I think like he's entertaining on the mic, you know, and I don't really know that much about Cody's work there. So that's maybe what's like clouding my judgment, and maybe he'll grow on me. I don't know.
Well, he's certainly going to be the focus of the company for a while. So
that reaction afterwards of everybody being so like emotional, is that like a normal thing at WrestleMania?
Not always. It kind of just depends on the guy. It's been a while, you know, I mean, even when Daniel Bryan won the WWE like World Heavyweight Championship 10 years ago, it was, you know, he was happy and the crowd was happy, but he didn't have like that parade of stars. I mean, Cody's journey is special that way. I mean, he's been in the business for a long time. For somebody that's only 39, I think, you know, he was like 20, early 20s when he broke in with, you know, and so there's a lot of people that know kind of his path and like what it took, you know, had being saddled with the Stardust character and then leaving WWE to kind of get more over and more famous and so over that he starts a new company, leaves that and then returns. Like it's a story that I think that there's a lot of people that are, you know, connected to in a real way, not just really like
him. You can just tell a lot of people really like him.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
be sad about that.
Yeah. Clearly. What about like just him wrestling like at WrestleMania? Like, you know, I think, you know, he's going up against Roman Reigns, who, you know, is a huge star and has been, you know, the fixture of WrestleMania for, you know, for 10 years plus and 9 times in the main event. How do you think he held up like standing in the ring with Roman and and even like, you know, even Rock and Cena, you know, and kind of being around Undertaker and just being around that like upper echelon of guys? Do you think he held his own and like looked the part or looked out of place?
He held his own. I maybe that's what throws me off. To me, he does, like, he's, because he's a smaller build, so like from that perspective he's just like the little small guy in there from some ways. But I you know, I said to you, I like that one like twist move he does.
Yeah, crossroads.
So, you know, I think that's like a big thing for me as someone that doesn't watch all the time, is having like a cool move like that actually looks like it means something. Like there's all these moves that are like so intricate that then I'm like asking you like, what is even supposed, whose move was that even? Like you can't even tell who's really winning and what's supposed to be hurting and that sort of thing. So like for me, I like that just is like, it's a cool move to watch. It's athletic. It's, you know, it's fun to see, I guess. So I don't know. That's the most I can really say about the wrestling specific piece. Cause that part isn't what I most like when I watch the shows.
What do you most like when you watch the shows?
No, I like the story, the build up, and the, like I said, like the things they say on the mic and the build. Like I really like Seth Rollins too. I think he's awesome, like on the mic. And The Rock always is having something to say. Just the way he says it, he has a certain like bravado about him. So yeah, that's what I more so like enjoy.
How do you grade Seth's getup and ring attire?
I don't remember. What was it? What did it look like?
Was like that, all those flashy people in costumes like walked behind him and around the ring, and he had like the big costume on as well. Like he really upped his game.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. I don't know. It doesn't do like that much for me, but I don't, it's fine.
So, okay, back to the main event. Roman Reigns, you know, you've seen him wrestle a lot. You know, he's been synonymous with the company. How do you think he came across out there? Like, did it come across as a guy who's like, this is his show and this is his deal and this is his place? And he's like passing the torch, or from a diehard perspective, you know, obviously everybody wanted to see Cody win the title. And that was the story that they've been telling since Cody returned to the WWE. And it coincided with Roman's story, which is he's been the champion for almost four years now, since August of 2020. And you had both of those things kind of colliding head on. For diehard fans, it's not even diehard fans, it's just regular fans that are watching the product. It's, hey, we want to see Cody win. And then on the back end, it's like, I think there was this recognition of like, man, that Roman title reign was pretty fun. Like, in that bloodline storyline was pretty cool. Like, you know, it's not every year or even every era of pro wrestling that you get like a top tier storyline like that. And it ended essentially on Sunday, and Roman will obviously be doing something else now. So did it resonate with you in the same way, or were you kind of just like, oh, Roman lost and that's it? Like I'm trying to get at like how deep those roots go as far as like, you know, what his title reign felt like. Is it just, you know, the diehard fans that are watching 7 hours of programming every week, or does it like kind of seep out into the more casual viewer
world? I would say, so one thing that's actually surprising to me that you said he had it for like 4 years, it's felt longer than that to me. Like, it feels like he's been their top guy forever. Like,
well, he's been the top guy forever, but he's on this title run for four years. I guess I should reframe it that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, and like I've the times I've watched him, I've gone up and down, I guess I would say. Like, there's times that I really liked him, and then there was times where I think that I'm like impacted sometimes by the fans, because there was a long time I think that like it felt like WWE wanted him to be the top guy, but no fan wanted him to be the top guy.
Yeah, just didn't buy him as like this top baby
thing. Yeah, so yep. Like that made it hard to then like enjoy watching him too, because like he's just, nobody's buying into it. Whether he's a baby face or a heel, nobody's into it. So I think it's like impressive that he's been able to like push through all that, and still the WWE stayed behind him, which is another like sign, I feel like, that they like obviously trust him and believe in him and support him and like him. So I think that's always impressive. I've never thought his like moves were that awesome in the ring, but he definitely like looks the part. Like, he, like, you know, that look that I've been talking about, he has it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's big, yeah, and got the long hair and all that stuff. So he has the look, and I don't know. I have always kind of liked him. I've always felt like he kind of has something, but it's always been like a kind of, you know, like it's not like a for sure he's the one, but WWE obviously like thought he was and was like shoving him down our throats, I feel like, for a long time. But I don't know. I think he's had like obviously an impressive run, and it's been cool to watch his whole arc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what it was. I mean, that really is what it was. It is like definitely an arc of like being the top guy, but not being like treated as one, to being the top guy and being treated as one. And now I think at the end here, he kind of has respect as the top guy too. He probably should have
had it without The Rock coming in, or did he only get it because of Rock coming in and like being a part of his storyline?
No. He had it before that too. I mean, I think that would have mattered. Like, it mattered when he lost the championship, because most of that story happened without Rock. I mean, Rock certainly helped. I mean, clearly helped from a business perspective, get a lot of eyes on the show, and, you know, helped make it the biggest WrestleMania of all time from a number perspective. But I don't think, like, you know, I don't think it impacted, you know, Roman. I mean, it impacted him positively in that he's standing next to The Rock, and that's really good. But I don't think it like gave his title reign credibility any more credibility than it already had. I think it, if anything, you know, they can go to that match if they want to. If Rock wants to keep having matches, they can do that. How would that hit for a casual fan like yourself? Because that's how this year started. Like this year's WrestleMania, it was, we're going to go with Rock and Roman. And then, you know, some backlash against that caused everything to pivot. And, you know, they ended up landing, I think, in a really good spot. But Rock, Roman.
Yeah, I think that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Did they ever fight, or they were always like teamed up? Have they fought?
No. They've never fought. No, they've never wrestled.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. And I mean, it's hard. It's kind of hard to like go back in time and say that would have been like way better. Because like I said, how it ended up seemed like it was an awesome build and whatnot to have Cody Rhodes. But I do think Rock versus Roman would be pretty good. Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were so against it because everybody just loves Cody so much.
Well, yeah, everybody loves Cody. And that, I mean, it was just like one of those things where it was like the story was that. And it was like Rock kind of swooping in at the end, just didn't really go over well. And, but, you know, that's like the beauty of this business is you can pivot and you can listen to that reaction and go, all right, well, we're going to go a different way. Mm-hmm. And they did. And I think it turned out great. But you still, and now really you've got two big matches you can do, singles matches with Rock. Yeah. You can do Rock and Roman. And then Rock and Cody is out there too. So which one of those singles matches does more for you?
Rock and Roman for sure.
Rock and Roman? Is it just because?
Why? Like, Rock was more so just helping Roman, wasn't he? What's his beef with Cody specifically?
Well, now that, you know, they had the tag match against each other, like, you know.
No, Rock and Roman would be way better. What do you think?
Just because it's Rock back in. I mean,
yeah, wrestling. And it's like then, you know, them turning on each other, and like then it's like these two behemoths going at each other. I don't know. I just feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I think both would be cool. I mean, I genuinely do. I mean, they've got two massive matches that they have to deal with now if Rock is up for it. But it's interesting that because I find it interesting your opinion on Cody because. If you look at numbers, like, you know, the approval rating, I think, of WWE has skyrocketed since, you know, Cody came in and was kind of like solidifying his spot as the top guy. You know, ratings aren't up huge, but they're not down. And no other kind of television entity can really say that outside the NFL. Coincides with Cody and other things too, Roman, and I'm not discounting that, but you know, Cody for sure. Yeah. So he seems to have like brought some casual folks back into the mix. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe if I watched more and like I said, I like the mic work and I haven't hardly seen much from Cody. So maybe that's like clouding my judgment. So I don't know if I watch like a little bit more throughout the year in order to like see the build, maybe it'd be different.
Fair. Okay. There was a little bit of a political battle going on at WrestleMania 40 this year. The WWE worked hard to define, you know, this WrestleMania as the start of a new era. Triple H mentioned it. Stephanie McMahon, you know, walked out to the ring on Sunday to start the show, talked about how she's been at every WrestleMania and this is, you know, the one that she's most proud of. Mm-hmm. Obviously this all falls under the kind of the political element of Vince and the terrible accusations that have been tossed at him and TKO essentially dismissing him from the company and really just kind of written out of his history at the moment, you know, until all that other nastiness irons itself out, however it's going to. But you didn't see his daughter or his son-in-law or even just, you know, commentary in general, like talk much about Vince. It was all, hey, we're doing great. We're new. This is a new era. We're doing great. This is great. with biggest WrestleMania ever. Did that come through to you where you're like, man, they're really beating over the head of the new era? Like, what's that supposed to mean? Or did you just like, or did you just view it as like corporate, like, yeah, corporate lingo? Like, did it resonate that something might be going on?
I wouldn't say that I picked up on that from just a casual viewer. I mean, I obviously know the accusations against Vince McMahon, and they're like so horrible that like I don't blame them. Of course, they want to distance themselves from him as much as possible. I don't think it's like actually possible. I mean, WWE and Vince McMahon are kind of like synonymous with each other, unfortunately. So it's, I don't think they can fully distance, but I get why they would go down that path. But yeah, I mean, to me, it was like Stephanie's comment is more, in my eyes, sitting there watching, it's like, oh, she's supporting her husband. And she's like, you know, like not necessarily anti her dad, more so supporting her husband. But I think it's actually probably both, I guess, right? I mean, or I don't know.
Plausible deniability for sure. But
yeah.
But yeah, yeah. I think it did. Yeah, I just, you wonder, like, you know, if it's not, because I think honestly they're trying to target like your level of fandom with that kind of rhetoric, in that trying to convince everybody that that's a totally new era. This is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. These are the people that are in charge now. Go with that. Remember that. You know.
Yeah, I just feel like for a viewer like me, like the background people who are in charge, like aren't going to like persuade me. It's going to be like, who is interesting in the ring? So like knowing that Triple H is in charge, it's like, okay, I don't, you know, like I don't really know anything about him. And so having him in charge doesn't necessarily like mean anything to me, but it's like, okay, are you bringing Trick Williams up? Because maybe I'm interested.
Well, what about the fact that it's not Vince? Cause like, I'm assuming you'd have a different opinion if Vince McMahon trotted out there. Yeah. On Sunday, true. Right?
Yeah.
Like, sure. I mean, it wouldn't have the same, like, that would matter to you. So it's not so much that it's not that you care about Triple H, but it's showing more that that it's not Vince.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, look, and that's what you want if you're WWE. You really don't want, and I know Triple H was on television and Stephanie was, special weekend. You don't want to have that be a central thing for your show, you know, even starting next Monday. Like, you just, maybe you can get away with it on Friday night, but not Monday. You want the show to speak for itself. So that's how, I'm sure they'd be happy to hear that. Like, we don't care. Like, it's great that it's not Vince. Now that I know that, I just want to watch good, like, good pro wrestling and entertaining whatever it is, the reason you watch it.
Right. Yes. Agreed.
Okay. Last question. And I'm curious, you kind of talked about Trick already, so maybe we already answered this, but is there anything that happened this weekend that, you know, well, I actually have two questions. We'll start with this one. What did you make of like the fan experience at WrestleMania, between, because there was a lot of stuff going on, WWE World and the store and just like, you know, the transportation to WrestleMania was fine. What did you think of the link? Like, just talk about just like fan experience. Like, you know, is it worth like going back to, you know, if you were experienced that again? And we did a lot.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with like what city they're in is obviously going to be a part of it. And that was my first time in Philadelphia. And I guess, you know, being from Chicago or living, you know, around Chicago, I guess I don't realize how big like Chicago is. And I know it's bigger than Philly. Like, I know that, but it made Philadelphia feel really small, which I like personally liked. I like kind of smaller city vibes like that, even though it's not small. But anyways, yeah, it was so easy to get to the stadiums, which is another thing that's like such a pain in Chicago, that when it's not somewhere else, it like is so refreshing and nice. So being able to quickly like get to the stadiums where they had the NXT show, that venue was great. It felt
Wells Fargo. Yeah.
It felt really new and nice, which I don't know if it is, but it just felt that way. So, and it was like easy to get everywhere. Going to the store when we went to the store, like that was a, you know, it was chaos. There's so many people, but
pandemonium. Yes.
Yeah, it was definitely that, but still like, you know, kind of fun. Like it's the same kind of story where it's like wrestling fans are just like so in it that it's hard not to like get in it with them. And it's hard not to want to get in it with them and pretend, you know, I don't even know what's going on, but I want to like pretend that I do. So that way I can like be high-fiving everybody and like be excited. The Link Stadium was fine. I don't think there's anything like special about it, but it was fine. Easy to get to, easy to get out of. And that Xfinity Live Center that they have next to it is what I think is really cool to have. It has indoor, outdoor spaces, you know, and just like a lot of different things to do in order to be down there with all the fans before you actually go into the stadium. So that was really fun too. I liked that a lot.
If you had to pick something, not trick, because we already know that's trick.
I don't know.
What would make you come back to not WrestleMania, but like flip on a show? If you heard X person was going to be on, or Y match was going to happen, or like just a big championship on the line, is there anything that you saw that hooked you? I mean, talk about Trick too, if that's really the truth. Because I mean, he is an up and coming budding top star, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think in 2-3 years time, you know, we could be talking about him in a totally different way. So you can bring that up, but also outside of him too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Trick obviously. And I think Rock Roman would be really cool to see. And you know, what's weird that I have been thinking about that I don't know why, but I guess I wanted more female power. Like I keep thinking of Ronda Rousey for some reason. Like I think of whatever she was, some WrestleMania she was at, right? That when like, and I love her entrance song. So I remember like that entrance song coming on and just like being so excited about it. So I feel like they need somebody there. I don't know who. I have no idea. You know, I don't know enough about the ins and outs. But to me, the women they have now are great, obviously. But I think they're missing a little star power.
I mean, you want a quiet night for the women's division. You know, they had the Bayley match with Io Sky. But, you know, and those are two top tier ish stars, but majority of the top talent was the night before. You had Becky Lynch, you had Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill. So I think you would have had a different opinion if you went to, right, if you did go to night one. But I mean, yeah, I mean, like, look, like Ronda Rousey, you know, it's been a, God, was she at last year's WrestleMania? I don't think so. But, and she's not going to be back with WWE anytime soon. She's had some very disparaging remarks about Vince McMahon and the organization as a whole. Most likely well-deserved on the organization's part. But yeah, I mean, she certainly like had that presence. I mean, she certainly had that presence. I mean,
I was trying to think of that. I don't think there was any, there's definitely nobody at that Ring of Honor show personally that I think of. And I don't remember the women at the NXT show and if there was anybody that, any females that stood out from that show, but I don't.
Well, you seem to like Roxanne Perez, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I did like her. Yes. You're right. I did like her. So.
Yeah. She's going to be a face of the organization at some point too. I mean, she's got a lot of talent. I think they see that. She's needs a little more seasoning. It's fascinating. It's fascinating what sticks with a casual viewer. Cause I mean, like Ronda Rousey, I think if you lined up 10, you know, regular fans of WWE that watch this show and listen to this show, I don't know. I don't think Ronda Rousey would be like on the list of things that like, wow, it'd be good to get her back. But frankly, though, but that's why they have her.
It's not necessarily her, but it's like her, like, I don't know. She just something that was
totally special. And
like, you know, I've only seen, like, you know, I don't really watch them throughout the year. I see only WrestleMania. So, like, that's what's still in my head, you know.
But that's why they sign her.
Yeah.
Because they want, you know, they want people to go, whoa.
Yeah.
I like this, you know.
Yeah.
I like her. And this feels big. I mean, that's why they do it. Same thing, you know, same thing with The Rock. Like, they want him to bring that same type of, energy.
And I know you said Charlotte Flair is hurt. Like, I feel like there was, a few years, maybe around the same time of Ronda Rousey, it was like the, you know, it was like the time of the women. Like they, with, because I don't really like how Bayley's changed. I liked when she was like that flailing car. Like I like
the hugger character. Yeah.
Like I like that better for her. Becky is never like excited me that much. She's fine. I do like Bianca Belair. I used to like Naomi back in the day.
She was on night one, you know. So yeah.
So yeah, I guess it feels like, yeah, however many years ago there was like that, you know, renaissance of the women's division, and it feels like now it's back kind of in a dip to me.
I genuinely think you just saw the wrong night. Like, because they got a lot of focus night one. Rhea Ripley's a huge star. I would have loved to have seen or get your take on her, because she's certainly like the most over woman that WWE has right now. She's kind of working as a heel, but like fans are totally cheering her. So it would be interesting. It would have been interesting to get your perspective on that. So I guess next year you're going to have to go to both nights. So we don't have this. We don't have this problem. All right. Well, we'll wrap up there. Any final thoughts on the weekend, on WrestleMania 40 weekend in Philadelphia?
I don't think so. It was fun. It's enjoyable. Like I said, it's infectious, and so it's always fun.
Get going on Rock versus Roman, WWE. You heard it here first.
You'll get one more viewer.
One more. That means the world to a $9 billion company.
Right, exactly.
That matters. I mean, that the fan base that they chase, you know, is...
Well, then, while we're at it, while we're talking to the WWE, I'd like more Miz.
More Miz. Oh, he was night one too. You know, he was there. So he wasn't shunned.
Miz. And if we want to bring back Miz Dub, that'd be fine.
Well, didn't Logan Paul like kind of give you the Miz?
Right. Miz, I forgot fix? About him. I like
he
him.
He was there.
Yeah. I like him. He's good. Yes. He kind of gives that same vibe. I do like him.
Yeah. He does have that same vibe.
Yeah. They should move him up. He should become a bigger star.
He's still a pretty big star.
But he's not like the guy. I don't know. Is he?
No, he's not. No. He's not. Well, it depends.
Him versus Cody could be good because they're like similar, stature. Like, I feel like, and they're both, you know, athletic, able to move. I don't know. I feel like that could be good too.
Amazing. I think you have a lot of our members' heads spinning right now with talk like that. But that's the point. That's why we're doing this show. I love it.
No one's ever thought of these ideas before.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks so much for dealing with the tech issues. This show will be up on YouTube. So if you're listening on Twitter right now and caught the end or caught the middle, we will put this up on YouTube once YouTube gets its issues squared away. We will also have this as an audio podcast, as is all of our shows that we are live with throughout the week. You can find them wherever you find your podcasts, just Church Brassring Media, and they will be there. Make sure you subscribe to our channel if you haven't done so already. We certainly appreciate it. We've got live shows and other videos that pop all week long, covering the wrestling business and WWE, AEW. We'll be talking AEW tomorrow on the flagship show 3 Eastern, and whatever they decide to pull with this all-in footage that they're going to drop should be very interesting at the very least. We talked about it a lot to kind of preview what could happen on last night's flagship show. So you can check that out on the channel. If you want to be a member and you like our style of content, you like our style of how we cover pro wrestling and how we talk about it, head over to Patreon. You can find us there. Patreon.com/Brassring Media. Get you full access to all that we do. It's only $4. That's it. $4. Get you access to everything. And I think you'll enjoy it. And we'll certainly do our best and work as hard as we can to make sure that you get the value that that you deserve back for that $4. So once again, it's patreon.com/brassringmedia. Carrie, thank you so much. It's been a blast. I appreciate you kind of giving us some of your time and your thoughts. And thank you for going with me. Yeah. And, you know,
so next year,
we can do it again soon. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
For Carrie, I am Zach, and we'll catch you guys next time. See ya.
Bye.